All right, take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verse number 3. Very familiar passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. I'm going to give you some thoughts that I think will be helpful today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. When you get there in your Bible, can you look up at me and smile? Just give me your best smile. All right, yeah, some of you need to put that away. No one should see that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 10:3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Today I want to talk about really how to have victory over your strongholds, smashing strongholds. Every believer sitting on the sound of my voice right now is either a captive or a conqueror. If you're sitting in this room, you are either right now currently being actively conquering the strongholds in your life, you're living a life of victory, or you're being taken captive by your strongholds. You're either a victor or you're a victim. And so the question I want to ask you this morning, which one are you? Are you a captive or are you a conqueror? On June 6, 1944, we launched one of the largest amphibious invasions in human history. Waves of American soldiers stepped off of a ship onto the beaches of northern France. When they got there and they began to step off, what was facing them was tall cliffs and very well-fortified enemy strongholds. The enemy forces had been encamped in there. They had machine guns set up all over the place on these beaches there in Normandy in France. These soldiers, these first line of defense people, they went out, they stepped out of the boat, and they had one mission: to capture the enemy stronghold. Every single one of those men that walked out of that ship that day knew exactly what was going to happen. They knew they were going to be met with a barrage of bullets. They knew that it was going to be heavily fortified. They knew that many of them probably would not come home. And as they walked out of that ship and began to step onto those beaches, sure enough, bullets came flying. From every single direction in front of them and to the sides, machine guns aimed at these men just out in the open storming this beach. Can you imagine being there? If you were lucky enough to be one of the men at the back of the ship, you would be stepping off the ship and watching the person at the very front run and get hit and fall. And then you take a couple more steps and see the person behind him get hit and fall. And then you take a couple more steps. Maybe you'd step over one of your friends that had just fallen. Maybe you'd step over one of the soldiers from the other boats, and you're taking steps and watching that next person fall and that next person fall until it gets up to you. And they kept going. And wave after wave after wave of American soldiers at Normandy charged these beaches, being just pelted and mowed down by the enemy forces as they tried to take a stronghold. By the end of the day, over 2,000 American soldiers in those two beaches alone at Normandy had lost their lives. But the soldiers that were remained experienced victory. While those soldiers experienced victory there at Normandy, I wonder, is that your experience? Are you right now in your life experiencing victory over your strongholds, or are you more like maybe the idea here? You're sending wave after wave after wave of attacks against the strongholds in your life, maybe against bitterness, maybe against pornography, maybe it's against depression like Brother Bosler talked about earlier. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's lying. I'm not really sure here. But you have a stronghold in your life, and you're trying. Seems like every time you go up against this thing, you get knocked back down. You've been at revival meetings before where people have preached on strongholds. You've been to church services before where people have talked about this. And you've heard about it, and you've heard about even maybe how to have victory. And you've tried to take those things and try to put it in place to get victory. You've tried to overcome it. You've given it to God. You've put it at the altar. But no matter what you seem to do, you just can't overcome your stronghold. Well, I'm here to tell you today that if you've been taken captive by your stronghold, Christ wants to make you more than a conqueror through God's truth. every one of us that's sitting here can have, we can conquer the strongholds that have been set up in our lives instead of allowing ourselves to be taken captive. As we look at this passage in 2 Corinthians 10, Paul gives us three descriptions here that allow us to see how exactly we can conquer strongholds in our lives. First of all, we see the description of the war. In verse number 3, the description of the war, the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 10, 3, for though we walk in the flesh, that means live, the word walk there would mean live, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We see, first of all, it's a spiritual war. First description we see from Paul in this passage is that this is a spiritual battle, and every single one of us in this room are part of the spiritual battle. All of us are. If you're living and breathing right now, then you're part of a spiritual battle. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You may say to me, Brother John, listen, I'm not in a spiritual battle. I mean, I'm not even taking part in this thing. Like, I'm not in a spiritual battle. There's really nothing in my life going on like that. Let me tell you this. During the draft in the 1960s, when you were issued a draft notice calling you for military duty, you could request to be excused for a few different things. You could request to be excused for health conditions. You could request to be excused for religious objections. You could even actually request to be excused for being actively enrolled in college. Now think about that. For some of you who thought college was a horrible idea and you're never going to do it, it does have some benefits. You could get out of the draft in 1965 if you decided so for these different exemptions. There were options. But in the spiritual battle that we're all in, there are no exemptions. Satan doesn't give a pass because you've got stuff going on in your life. Satan doesn't let you just slide because you happen to grow up in a Christian home or go to a good church. Satan doesn't let you get by it because you just read your Bible every day. Or honestly, Satan doesn't even let you get by because you just say, you know what, I just stay out of all that religious stuff. That's not even part of my life. Can I tell you today, every single one of us here is in a spiritual battle. And the devil has a target. He's a laser pointer on your back. You're part of it. You say, well, I don't believe in Satan and all this religious stuff. I mean, that's just not me. In California, if you've never seen it, Apple Corporation is based there in California, and their building is basically totally glass. Almost completely in their building, it's glass walls, glass windows, obviously. Glass, you know, just about everything there is just completely glass. And I don't know what it is that they pay their window washers, but recently the Apple company has reported some problems. They've been having people that have been literally walking head first, face first, into the glass walls in around their building. Now, the architectural designer, when he created this building and designed it, he said, hey, we need to worry about this because people are going to walk into it. And I'm sure you thought what I'm thinking right now, or that architectural guy thought, he said, who in the world is going to walk face first into a glass wall? I mean, like, what is that? You say, I don't believe you, Brother John. Okay, well, here's a 911 transcript of a phone call that went on about somebody who walked right into the glass in the Apple building. Dispatcher, are you with the patient now? Caller, no. I'm not with the patient. We're trying to have a security unit call in right now so I can connect you over. They were calling in a security unit. I mean, that sounds kind of extreme for somebody walking into glass. Dispatcher, how old is the patient? Caller, late 20s. See, stupidity doesn't just stop when you turn 18. It keeps going. Dispatcher, is the patient male or female? Caller, male. That makes sense. Dispatcher, is he awake? Caller, he's conscious. Dispatcher, is he breathing? That we do not know. No, yes, yes, he is conscious and he is breathing. That's what the caller said. Dispatcher, let me go ahead here and update the paramedics. When did this happen? Caller, it happened about 5 minutes ago, around 12:05. Dispatcher, is there any serious bleeding? Yes, from the head. He hit his face on the glass wall. Dispatcher, is he completely alert? Yes. My friend... That's a really dumb illustration, and I hope that today you're not going to walk, you know, face first into one of the glass doors here. If that happens to you, we'll call 911 for you too and try to get you some help. But what I just want to say is this: is that listen, you may say, look, I don't believe in Satan. I don't believe in all this religious stuff. I don't believe in the spiritual battle. But may I tell you, Satan is not the boogeyman. Satan is not Santa Claus, and Satan believes in you. He believes in you because he's attacking you, because he's fighting you. The Bible says in Zechariah 3:1, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Can I say this to you? Young person, every decision that you've ever tried to make for God, Satan standing right next to you, ready to resist you. This week, there are some of you here today who God is going to challenge you with some very strong things in your life. God is going to challenge you to make some decisions that are going to change your life, that are radically going to change the course of your direction in life. And can I say this? And you better be ready. Satan is going to be right there every single step of the way. In every message that you're going to listen to today, Satan's going to be right by your side. Hey, listen, why would you get right with your parents? You know what's going to happen if you do that. You know how much trouble you're going to be in. Hey, listen, you don't need to get right with your teachers. You know, you might even get kicked out of your Christian school. I mean, imagine you a kid cheating in Christian school. They might kick you out. Hey, you don't need to talk to your youth pastor about it. I mean, what would he think of you? Why would you go forward an invitation to get saved? I mean, you're already part of a youth group. You've grown up in church. You come here to the Cola Clash Plus. I mean, what's everybody going to look at you and think if you go forward to ask Jesus to be your Savior? You've already told everybody you're saved anyway. Those thoughts sound familiar? We're in a spiritual battle. Satan is attacking us. Satan's not relenting. In fact, he's been at this thing for a long time. The Bible says that he's the father of lies. He's the master of deceit. Satan is a master deceiver, and his job, his goal is to deceive you, to bury lies so deep in your heart that you won't be able to make any decisions for Christ. We see this isn't just a spiritual war. We see that it's also a strategic war. It's a strategic war. Paul goes on to say here, he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. To the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds, if I can define it this way, are lies about God or his word that we buy into, and thus give Satan the opportunity to bring us into bondage under sin's influence. Ephesians 4:26 through 27 says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. The word place here is the Greek word for the word topos, which literally means ground or a piece of land. Basically, here's what he's saying. Every time you allow the sun to go down upon your wrath, you ever been, let me ask this question. How many of you have ever been angry at somebody before? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever been angry? Okay, that should be all of us in the room probably. Ever been angry at somebody? How many of you don't have to raise your hand on this one, but how many of you have ever been angry at somebody and then you started to feel the anger kind of wane, like your anger level sort of went down, but then you just decided, you know what? I'm not going to give that up. I'm not going to give that up. I'm not going to let that go away. I'm going to stay angry at this person. Maybe it was your mom. Maybe it was your dad. Maybe it was an authority figure. I don't know. We've probably all had that happen before. The Bible says here, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. At that moment, when you feel that anger and you begin to feel that rage and you decide to say, you know what, I'm going to hold on to that. At that very moment, you just gave place to the devil. You just gave Satan ground in your life. Satan gets a piece of your life. He's strategic. He's setting up strongholds. Satan's coming in your life, and he's starting to build, if I could put it this way, these towers, these strongholds to keep you entrenched in your bitterness, to keep you entrenched in your anger, to keep you controlled by your lust. Satan is doing everything he possibly can to keep you from serving Jesus Christ. He's building these strongholds. I want you to imagine a tall tower. Made of brick and mortar. Okay, can everybody do that? Sorry, my voice just killed me this morning. Imagine a tall tower made of brick and mortar. So you've got this big tower, and this is your stronghold. Now, I don't know what it is for you, but you do. Maybe for you it's lying. Maybe for you it's lust. Maybe for you it's bitterness. Maybe for you it's anger. Maybe it's pride. I don't know. But all of us in this room probably have something that we're struggling with, and you're imagining here we have this tower, we have this stronghold. If we were to ask in this room, we were to say, you know, what is your stronghold? You would say one of those things. You might say it's greed. You might say it's lust. You might say it's bitterness, whatever. You'd mention the sin. But a stronghold is more than just a bunch of bricks. The bricks in this illustration represent your sin that you're struggling with, that besetting sin. But there's also mortar. You see, mortar gives a stronghold its strength. If we were to just take a whole bunch of bricks out in the yard and we were to pile on top of each other, I mean, that'd be great, but it probably wouldn't withstand very much. If you were to build a big tower and not use any cement, not use any concrete, not use any mortar to kind of hold things together, then if there was an issue, there was an earthquake, there was really anything, it would cause it to fall over or crumble. The mortar in our illustration in this tower, that's the lie that Satan's gotten you to believe. You see, it's the lie that you buy into that gives your stronghold its strength. Some of you in this room today, the reason why you can't get victory over pornography in your life, it's not because you're not working hard to try to keep your mind clean. And it's not even, frankly, because you're not trying to depend on Jesus to help you. It's because you still haven't dealt with the lie that got you into it in the first place. The reason why some of you here are bitter and you come forward an invitation and you try to give God back your bitterness and you try to lay it down at Jesus' feet and you say, Lord, here's my bitterness, and then you get back up off the altar and you walk away and take it back with you, it's not because you don't have a sincere heart and because you're not sincerely turning it over to the Lord. It's because you still haven't recognized or identified or dealt with the lie that Satan shoved down your throat. The reason why some of you will make no decisions this week at the Generation Conference, it's not because you don't want to, but it's because Satan's got a hook. He's got a lie that's buried deep, and he's going to pull you around with it all week. You see, the secret to being to go from being a captive to a conqueror is that we have to identify the lie that Satan's gotten us to believe, and then we have to use God's truth to attack it. Number two, we see not only a description of the war, but we also see a description of the weapons. In verse number 4, the Bible says, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. First, we see the supernature of these weapons. On August 6, 1945, President Harry Truman ordered that the first atomic bomb be dropped on Hiroshima, Japan. When it hit, there was a massive explosion. Instantly, 80,000 people were absolutely annihilated. The atomic bomb, something that the world had never seen before, dropped on Japan and instantly destroyed more people than a machine gun, than a mortar, than a cannon could ever do. 3 days later, another atomic bomb was dropped on Nagasaki, and over 40,000 people were gone in an instant. The Emperor Hirohito at that point went ahead and he made an announcement and said, we go ahead and give ourselves to unconditional surrender to the American forces. For we have seen a weapon that could destroy the entire human race. That's what he said. Those weapons are extremely powerful. But can I tell you, they're not the most powerful weapon that's ever been created. The most powerful weapon isn't a bomb. It's not a gun. In fact, it's not even physical. We know that because the Bible says here, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or earthly, physical, but are mighty through God. The most powerful weapon is sitting in this room right now. In fact, most of you probably are holding it in your hands. The most powerful weapon that's ever been created is the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The only weapon that's strong enough to pierce the heart of man and change a life is God's Word. The only weapon that's strong enough to overcome your stronghold, it's not you, it's not your ideas, it's not your plans. Honest, it's not a filter on your phone. It's not an accountability partner, although all those things are wonderful and good. The to tear down the stronghold, the lie that you believed that Satan has set up that's been dominating your life is the Word of God. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4 and Satan came to him, tempted him? He gave him these ideas and he said, cast yourself down. The Bible says that the angels will catch thee and everybody will believe that you're God. Or he said, bow down and worship me. I'll give you all of the kingdoms of the world. He mentions these different things. What did Jesus do every single time Satan threw something at him? What was his response? Go ahead, you can say it out loud. Word of God. Word of God. He quoted God's word, right? The Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let me give you very simply, you don't have to be a captive to Satan's strongholds in your lives anymore. All you have to do is when Satan gives you that, when you go up against Satan's stronghold, when Satan tempts you, when Satan throws that thought, he throws that that desire into your heart, he whispers that lie into your mind, and you're sitting there and you hear it, what you've got to do is you've got to take God's word, God's truth, and throw it right back at him. We see the super nature of these weapons. These weapons are supernatural. because the word of God is supernatural. But we also see the secret of these weapons. The Bible says here, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God wants to make you more than a conqueror. And the way that that's going to happen is by you not relying on yourself, but looking to God. The Bible says the secret of these weapons really is the fact that they're God's weapons. In Ephesians 6:17, the Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God's Word is given power when it's wielded by His Holy Spirit. There's a friend of mine, he was at the same Bible college that I attended, and in their dormitory, they decided they'd play this game. They called it dormitory mini golf. Kind of a crazy idea, but they lived in a dorm, and there was a very long hallway, doors on either side. At the end of the hallway was a stairwell. And this guy, he decided, he took his putter, and he would line up, get the golf ball, and what they would do is they'd put a cup at the bottom of the stairwell, they'd take the golf club, line it back, hit the ball as hard as they could, and then try to bounce it from the wall into the stairwell, down the stairs, and into the cup. Great idea, right? There was one guy who ever made it into the cup. He actually made it. One guy. And that guy, here's what he did. That guy, he hit the putter, he hit the ball, he takes it back, he wields the thing, he cranks it as hard as he can, hits the ball, and it goes flying straight at the wall. Instead of bouncing off the wall, boom, right into the wall. Perfect golf ball size hole. Now here's what this guy did. Unbelievable thought, right? This guy, he goes over to the closet, he takes out an electrical outlet, he walks over to the hole, and he goes, done. Shoves the electrical outlet in the wall. Nobody has any idea there's a hole there. Honestly, that's a girl's dorm now. There's probably a blonde girl right now plugging a vacuum into that hole. Like, why isn't this working? I just don't understand. Like, what's going on here? You know, if you try to overcome your strongholds without looking to the right source of power, you're going to be just as helpless as that blonde girl with a vacuum. There's not going to be any power in your life. But if you look to Jesus for your power, if you look to Jesus, He can give you power. He can allow you to overcome. I've only got a minute or two left, so I want to finish quickly. But thirdly, we see here a description of the warfare in verses 5 through 6. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to put it this way to you. Simply put, the secret to becoming a conqueror is learning how to take your thoughts captive. When it comes to your mind, folks, you can either be the warden or you can be the prisoner. The choice is up to you. When it comes to your mind, to your thought life, to the lies that Satan gets you to believe, you can either be the man holding the keys to your mind or you can be the man sitting in the cell controlled by your thoughts. You get to have the choice. So how do you take your thoughts captive? What do you do? I want to give you three simple steps. Number one, identify the stronghold, the lie from Satan. Figure out what exactly it is that Satan's got you to believe. Figure out what it is that's giving that stronghold strength, that mortar. Figure that out. Number two, conquer your stronghold with God's truth. Take back the ground. It's not enough for you to just identify the lie. You've got to tear the stronghold down. My friends, when you take away the mortar from a stronghold, if you were to take a brick building and remove all of the concrete from it, what would happen to the bricks? What would happen? They'd fall down. Can I tell you that's the exact same thing that will happen to your stronghold? If you'll identify the lie that Satan's put in your heart, and then you'll attack it with God's truth. Number three, confront new thoughts with biblical thinking. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober and be vigilant. You need to keep on the lookout always for thoughts, always for unbiblical thinking in your life, for things that Satan's shooting at you, for those fiery darts. Remember, the Bible says, and take the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Today, I wonder, will you continue to allow yourself to be taken captive? Or will you take God's truth? Take God's word, look to God for His power, and go from being a captive to being a conqueror. Zach was a young man who, in his high school years, his life was totally dominated by pornography, 100%. Zach went to Bible college. And in Bible college, he got there and he decided, you know, I'll surrender my life, I'll serve the Lord, went to Bible college, and even in Bible college, he still struggled with pornography. It was a battle. He saw some victory at the beginning, but it crept back in. Zach wasn't a bad kid. Zach was the kind of guy at Bible college. He was working on the bus route. He was serving the Lord. He was trying to do what he could possibly, everything he could do. In fact, he was even a guy that preached to kids in a kids' class. Zach was serving God with all of his heart, but inside of his heart, he was battling. He was struggling. And there was a stronghold that he couldn't just tear, that he just couldn't tear down. Zach's senior year of college, he was begging God to show him some way to finally get out of this battle, this bondage. Came across this passage, and he recognized this truth, that if he would just take the word of God and then look to God for his power, he could tear down the stronghold. You know what Zach's testimony was after that? He said, I want to quote, I've never felt so free or so close to God in my entire life. I finally know what it means to have victory. My friend, you can experience the exact same victory that Zach experienced. You don't have to be a captive to your strongholds. You don't have to be a victim. You can be victorious. You can be more than a conqueror. And God wants to do it in you, but you've got to let him. So which one are you? Are you a captive or a conqueror? Experiencing victory today? You can, but you got to look to God for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. I pray that you'd work, Lord, in our hearts and through this message and the rest of the messages that are to come. Thank you so much for all that you're doing in this place. And God, I pray for the rest of the generation that these young people would go on to make wonderful decisions for you. We love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.